Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on the Up Your Brave show. Next up, I am talking to Fiona Christie on the topic of This Is Me. Shift your BS story to reveal the real you. Welcome to the show, Fiona.
Oh, thank you so much, Natalie. It's great to be here.
So good to have you and to be talking about shifting your story, something that I am familiar with, and I'm so thrilled to be shining the light on this. It can be life-changing for people, right?
Yeah, totally. Oh, I've seen it so many times.
For those of you that might not know Fiona, Fiona Christie is founder of The Awakened Guru. She's a transformation coach, author, belief shifter, and the creator of the BS Shift Method. With over 20 years of experience, Fiona was one of the very first trained life coaches in New Zealand. Her approach stems from overcoming significant personal challenges and discovering that our stories often mask the real reasons that we're stuck. Fiona's transformation journey from a remedial reader to an author and coach highlights the power of personal development. She offers one-to-one coaching, online and in-person courses, and group programs such as the Intuitive Life Shift, Awakening Your Inner Guidance, the Love Shift with your roadmap to love, attracting the right partner. Ooh, more on that later. The Abundance Shift, tapping into universal flow, and Soul Business Woman Get Unstuck with the BS Shift, showcasing the true potential without fear or anxiety. Most people who seek her guidance realize something is missing in their lives. Fiona helps them reveal their true potential by uncovering those limiting beliefs that keep them stuck. Personal transformation allows them to manifest that which they desire. Well, it's an honor to have you on the show, Fiona. I've got so many questions. Before we dive into my questions, I would love it if you could share some backstory with my listeners so they can get a little bit more insight into the road that you've walked.
Sure. God, I love that phrase, the road you've walked. I always kind of use the thing, step into the shoes that you long to fill. You know, and I had big shoes I wanted to fill. Like I was born 3.5 pounds and I was really not a well baby. My mother was really sick. She had a hemolytic anemia, so it meant our blood wasn't compatible. Mm-hmm. And she was advised not to have any kids, but got pregnant, obviously, by accident. And here I am. So thankfully they didn't, choose the other option. But because I was so tiny, I was in an incubator for, a couple of months or whatever. I don't really know how long. And then I went to live with my aunt because my mother was sick. She'd got cancer of the cervix and was whisked off to another hospital. And then my dad couldn't have me at home because he had the other kids to look after. So, you know, it was a bit of a rocky start. And so I kind of formed this belief myself, no blame or anything. I had wonderful, wonderful family. But I formed a belief that because I was small and little and kind of a bit sickly in those days, that I couldn't, you know, that it wasn't possible for me. And so every time I would attempt something and so-called fail, that's okay because you're little, you know. So I gained this belief that I couldn't. And so then became a remedial reader. And at the time, you know, thought I was a bit stupid or whatever. And then as a teenager, didn't really do much at all. And my life didn't start to change until I was in London and I was walking past a bookshop. And I saw this book and I thought, I'm going to read it. Now, I could read, but it was so painfully slow. It was, I couldn't, you know, some of the embarrassing stories of at school, having to read out paragraphs from a book was just horrendous. And I thought, I'm going to read it. Something in me said that. And I read the whole book. It was so thick. Oh, God. And then my life changed again because I discovered personal development when I was probably about 24. And I started to realize that perhaps my mind had something to do with my outcome and that maybe I could change that. So I did all sorts of things. Like I did a diploma in Japanese language. I became a Microsoft certified professional and A+ certification. And oh my God, that was hard. And it felt like pushing myself, you know, but I had this thing that now I know I can do all these things, but I take on more than I could chew, probably. Somebody at one stage saw an ad saying, train to be a life coach. This was before anybody knew what even this was. And she said, that's you. And so I did it. And, you know, I haven't looked back. And I've done all sorts of other things as well. And I mean, I've made mistakes, you know, I don't believe in mistakes, but they're all lessons in our life. You know, I've gone back to work in corporate government, quite senior positions. And oh my God, so stressful. But here I am again, knowing that this is absolutely my path and I have to follow it. Yeah. So that's kind of my backstory, I guess, how I got into coaching.
I love the way you emphasize.
Oh, and the other part, sorry, of the backstory is that when I left the government world, it was around about the time that the mandates were coming in, and I left, and I thought, oh, I'll just sail straight in, back into coaching, because that was my idea. And then my mother got sick, and I ended up having to race up to Auckland to take care of her and take care of things up there. And then I just hit this overwhelming, I'd hit burnout, you know, and I just couldn't. And I was new to this area as well where I'm living. So I kind of spent these months going, what the hell's going on? And I'd go for 10 walks a day to try and shift it off. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to figure this out once and for all. And so that's when I came up with this thing called the BS Shift, which was a way for me to shift that story that was going on that wasn't true and get to the next layer underneath. So anyway, that's my backstory.
Well, I was going to jump in and ask you, when did you specifically realize that you keep saying, well, I can't do that, you know, because I'm small or I was weakly as a baby? When did you make that turnaround? Like, it sounds like it was recent, or was it a while back?
Well, so what I now know, having kind of like just delved into this for all my life, really, is that there are layers of that. So we're like an onion, you know, it's layer upon layer upon layer. And so you peel back one layer and then you sail along for a while. So you shift to the next kind of vibrational plane, if anybody, you know, if you know something about vibrational energy. So you shift to that next level. So therefore you attract different people, situations and things to you. And so you'll be sailing along for a while and then you'll notice another thing, another limiting belief. We've got so many of them, like there's hundreds, thousands probably. And so then you shift the next layer and the next layer. So my most recent layers have been amazing. They're getting quicker and quicker now that I've developed the BS Shift to be able to work with that. I could work with layers, but I'd get frustrated that some clients, you just couldn't shift them. And I'd like, why is that? So I've combined a whole heap of sort of modalities, some of my own stuff, some stuff I've learned, and then put it all together in this. I don't know if that answers your question. I tend to go off on a tangent a bit.
I get the idea. And I love how you used the phrase earlier, mistakes.
Yeah.
And you emphasize that because it rather than mistakes, because of your, obviously, yeah, your positive attitude towards everything's learning opportunity or something like that.
Yeah. So I've been married twice before. I'm in a long-term relationship now, but, you know, people would say, oh, you know, I made a mistake, you know, it didn't work out or whatever. But oh my God, if you stop and notice and really give yourself the opportunity to learn from that, then you'll get the next life lesson. But you'll keep on the same life lesson if you don't actually step up and investigate it. You know?
Well, let's start there, because that's what I was looking for, growth mindset. So you've got a growth mindset, it sounds like, and so do I. But what about those people who it's almost like, you know, Groundhog Day living or broken record living, yeah, like where they're not shifting anything and they're literally just kind of living the same life, but they're not fulfilled, they're not happy. Is that what happens if people don't embrace the learning or they don't make some steps towards shifting their story?
Totally. They keep repeating the same patterns in their life. And it is like Groundhog Day, and funny, because I've got a course called The Life Shift with the Internalist Way. And that is really what it teaches you, is kind of learn about this stuff called vibrational energy, learn about noticing and becoming your own detective, learn about thoughts. So the word internalist, each letter of that word is one of the modules in the course. And basically it's the baseline that everybody should kind of get to, I believe, where it helps them to kind of realize, I'm the only constant in this scenario, you know, and so I'm creating all of these patterns in my life. And if I could just like lift the covers up a little bit and have a look underneath and go, okay, I'm prepared to change it and shift the vibration, like there's a whole lot of tools you can use to do that. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get practical, because I love to give my listeners some specific things they can do So for anyone that's listening that is thinking, okay, well, I think I know what my story is and I'm ready to shift some of my BS, what are some things they can do? I imagine it's a process, but can you give us a few actionable things they can do?
So the first thing to do is notice that you've got this repetitive pattern. Obviously, you can't investigate it until you notice it. And so one of the steps in the BS shift is where you say to yourself, I'm feeling, and it's either sad, mad, or scared, because all of the so-called negative emotions, and there are no negative ones because they're all there to teach us something, right? But sad, mad, scared encompasses most of them. So let's say you're anxious or you're feeling pissed off or whatever. They come under that same category of sad, mad, or scared. So I'm feeling sad, mad, or scared because, and you answer the question. And then you start going deeper and you start saying, well, actually, so let's say you said, I'm feeling angry because, oh, God, he walked out again and didn't do the dishes, you know, and he left the kitchen in a complete mess. So then you'd say, that's why I'm feeling angry. Is him not doing the dishes the cause of the anger? Is that the cause of the anger? Is that really why? Well, you might say, well, no. Actually, it leaves me, how does it make me feel? But nobody can make you feel anything, you choose that, right? But how do I feel? Oh, well, I feel like he doesn't value me. Okay, feeling like he doesn't value me, is that really why? So you just keep digging. But what you can do is use a little thing called that's good because, and I love this thing. Mm. So you can go, that's good because, and you have to find a reason why it's good. And there's always a silver lining in everything. Of course, at the time, if someone passes away or whatever, it's going to be sad. So you need to be sad. You need to allow yourself to feel the feeling. But what mostly people do is push it away. So you go, that's good because, and then you can go, or you can go, that's good therefore, or that's good and so. So it's kind of actionable stuff. It becomes actionable in the end. Like people talk about affirmations. I believe they're a bit of a waste of time in a way, unless you're going to take it that step further and feel into whatever that affirmation feels like and take some action.
Yeah. Okay, I like that because, I, you know, kind of like anchoring into an emotion rather than just an airy-fairy phrase that you repeat and you're not connected to it.
Yeah, because the universe doesn't respond to your words and your thoughts. It does in a way because your thoughts go out and emulate, but the universe responds to how you feel. So change how you feel and you will attract different stuff to you. But people get what we call mileage out of staying stuck, you know, because then they can tell their story over and over again.
Yeah.
But if they really were honest with themselves, what does it give them? What does that, whatever it is, give me? And then go deeper. What does that give me? And what does that give me? And you'll come to the real reason why you do what you do.
Okay, let's go there because I want to go back to, and it's probably the same thing, that's good because, and I want to stick with the example of the guy not doing the dishes, just so we can really hone in and make it super clear how somebody would actually do this. So can you carry on? So they're upset. Let's use your phrase. They're mad. They're mad because the person walked out again and didn't do the dishes, and they go, well, this is good because it allows me to be angry, or what?
No. So there's a thing in coaching where we go, just hold up the mirror, you know? So we're always a mirror to whatever's happening in our life. So he's left something undone, you know, or he's left the dishes or whatever. Where am I leaving stuff undone? So if you clean up your own stuff, you'll notice they start cleaning up their stuff. But who's angry about the dishes? He isn't. He couldn't give a toss because it's not his thing. He doesn't care about a dirty bench. Why should he care about? I always remember going to this counsellor years ago. God, I would have been about 23 or 24 or something. And I was moaning about my then husband going, you know, oh, and he never buys me flowers. And she said, so why would he buy you flowers? And I said, because I love them. And she said, well, how do you ask him? I said, oh, I probably say, you know, you never buy me flowers. And she said, well, he isn't gonna. And she said, what if you said to him, I love flowers. You know what would make me feel really great would be if you would buy them for me. And she said, and then if he doesn't, just go buy flowers with the joint account. And when he comes home, hand them over to him and take them back and say, thank you so much for my flowers. I really love them. I loved that. It was so cool.
Role play anyway, it out.
So what they could do about the dishes. So you've got choices, right? You could do the dishes and feel begrudging about it for the rest of the day. You could do the dishes with love because you're the one who loves the tidy house and just love it. You could tidy up a section of the bench that's just for you and it's always tidy and got whatever you want on it and leave his dishes to pile up for weeks. You know, kind of reminds me of Byron Katie's The Work. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but hers is amazing. She has some incredible stories about that kind of thing. Really, the only one that's affected by this thing is you. And did you ever stop to wonder why he doesn't do the dishes? And is he fearful or is he just kind of so fed up with the same attitude or whatever? You know, there's always other things you can do. But if we go back to holding up the mirror, it's always a reflection. All you have to do when things aren't going right is go, where am I not doing this? Where am I doing this? You know? So where in my life am I not tidying up? It might not be in the same sort of stuff. It might be a completely different scenario. But once you start to do that, you will
start. Yeah, like the accounting or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So we're always a vibrational match for whatever we're feeling.
Yeah. Okay. So in previous interviews, those of you that are listening and you listen to many of my shows, we've talked previously about triggers. So would we use the same word? So you're being triggered because you're mad because this person didn't do the dishes. So so I guess part of what you're saying is when we are triggered, rather than just being mad or sad and allowing ourselves to feel that way, look in the mirror and go, where else in my life am I also, you know, doing that thing, leaving things undone or things are messy and I'm not taking care of it?
Yes, it might be a completely different thing, you know. And coaches are not perfect. So that's what's so great because we can use our own life as an example. I don't sort of teach anything that I haven't come, you know, I haven't done myself in my own life, you know.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Amazing. Okay, I love that activity. I get it. Let's move on. If there's what other example can you give us or practical exercise somebody can do?
Well, I like the just the facts. So this is also part of the BS shift. But, you know, I get people to do appreciation letters to themselves as well. So if you were to stick with just the facts in the situation, leaving the story behind, you'd probably find that the very thing that you've been avoiding, let's say you want to do something and you haven't done it or whatever, is, you know, you're able to do it because you can find evidence from your own life where you've done the very same thing.
So you mentioned about the appreciation letter. Is that part of the just the facts?
Not really. The facts, if you stuck to just the facts, what's the fact? There's dishes on the bench.
Right.
What's another fact? I'm feeling whatever I'm feeling about it. What's another fact? We don't know that he left the dishes on purpose. We don't know what he thinks because what happens is, oh, this is a good one. I call it being in other people's business. So often we make up other people's stories for them. Here's a good example. Like someone who was wanting to meet a partner and they went internet dating and they came back. This actually happened, but I won't name names or whatever. And so they came back and I saw them afterwards. Oh, how did the date go? They said, oh, great. So I assumed they were going to see them again. I said, oh, when are you going to see them next? Oh, no, we won't be having another date. Oh, why not? Well, he lives 3 hours away from me and, you know, he's retired and I'm not and he'll want to do retired things. And he, all making up his mind for him because that's his business. Meanwhile, if I were to ask him, he might say, oh, it's great. You know, I've always been thinking about moving anyway, and I'd love to live in that part of the country or whatever. He might also be saying, isn't it fantastic that she works and I'm retired because I get to play golf all day, which I love and I know she doesn't, you know, whatever. So we make up other people's stories for them. So take the dishes situation. How does she know that he feels so put upon about the dishes every time, you know, that he just goes, oh, I'm just going to leave them because I know that's going to happen anyway, you know, or I don't know how to handle it or, you know, how does, you know. So it's like if you stayed in your own business rather than being in their business, what would it be? Well, you'd only have the facts of the situation that you know from your side because we make up these stories in our head about what other people are thinking.
So interesting. So we're talking actually today about two types of stories, I find it. So it's almost like the source or the origin story, like the, you know, when I was little, this thing happened. And as a result, I became like this. And now I've got the limiting beliefs. So that kind of more life-changing pivotal story that some people cling to because it serves them and all the things. Yeah. And then you're also talking about day-to-day living stories and he left the dishes on the bench on purpose or he doesn't care about me or whatever. And how we kind of fill in the blanks of those stories as well. So going back to shifting your BS story, if someone realizes, okay, I've been using this, I've really been clinging to this story my whole life and I'm ready to let it go, how can they take that first step to actually release it and it doesn't become part of their persona all the time?
Well, it can be really quick or really drawn out. You know, they can take the first step by owning what it is that they're feeling. Then they start digging underneath. So the shift of the BS shift stands for what's your story? What's hidden underneath that story? You need to have a pattern interrupt. And that's something, you know, quite, well, in this case, it's quite abrupt, you know. You need to have a pattern interrupt. And then you need to stick to the facts and figure out that it actually has been a story and that's not really what you're holding on to. And then you need to step into the truth of who you really are.
Ooh.
So that's an energetic, well, from what I do, that's an energetic process. It's working with light energy and stepping into the truth of who you are. It's kind of, I don't know, too much about quantum shifts, but I guess it's similar. And so you step into that persona of who you really are. You also need to take some actual action really quickly and do something different, you know. I have this thing called accountability, which is in the Life Shift course, and it has you for every, you might set three goals this week, and for every one that you don't do, you've got to do something, a consequence, you know, so it gives you that reminder, oh God, if I don't do this, I've got to do this. People often say to me, oh, but why don't we have a reward system? Well, for adults, that doesn't really work because you could just say, oh, I'll just get a massage next week, you know, or whatever. So when I first developed this, I was working with a really motivated personal trainer and we said we'd cut up $5 for everything we didn't do. But of course, that's illegal because you're not allowed to deface money in any way, but it was our own money. So we thought, oh, well, so I had to change it, saying do something that you would most avoid. Like for me, it's clean the oven. I hate cleaning the oven. And so if I really want to get to do something and I'm avoiding it and I'm going into procrastination or whatever, then I'll go, right, if I haven't done it by X, then I have to do Y. And people say, oh, but I wouldn't be accountable. Well, that's where you get an accountability buddy and you just commit to that, you know. I don't know. That's one way.
I'm going to call it reverse motivation. I think that's funny. Yeah, because some people are inspired, motivated by rewards and other people, it's like, nah, they're just not going to do it.
Well, apparently, according to psychology, if you believe all that, they say 90% of people are more motivated by avoiding pain than they are by gaining pleasure.
Yeah.
So that's why it works, I guess, this whole accountability thing.
All right. Everyone who's listening, have a think about what is that one thing that you could put down for your reverse motivation. It might be cleaning the oven. It might be something else. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm talking today to Fiona Christie. And we're talking about This Is Me, Shift Your BS Story to Reveal the Real You. We'd love to hear your thoughts, any reflections so far. If you know the story you've been clinging to and you're ready to release it, you can let us know, 2057 on the text or email inbox@realitycheck.radio. I'm going to dive into something you just mentioned, which was around the truth of who you are. This is something I love talking about. I actually have something that I call the true you. So I do like a human design and archetype consult with people. I would love you to share with our listeners, if someone's listening and they would love to know a little bit more about the truth of who they are there certain questions that you have people ask themselves or things they think about to do that?
Well, I believe that we all know. We know, but we're too fearful to do it. So fear is just an acronym for false evidence appearing real because it's something in the future that hasn't even happened yet. So again, we make up our stories. So your question is, what could they do if they sort of have a sense that the real them is not, you know, they're not kind of living their real life? Well, of course, I would say, you know, go and see a life coach because they'll help you get that out there. But first of all, what we need to determine is what is it that's holding you back? It's not true, the stuff that's holding you back, but what is it? Because you need to get to the bottom of that. So that's why I like the BS shift, because if you can get to the bottom of why you're not being the you, but often what happens is, here's something that concrete they can do. What often it is that people haven't actually even gone there to know what it is that it would be like if they were being like that, you know?
Yeah.
So get real, write a letter to yourself. What is your life like because you're already there?
Okay.
What are you doing that's different? I ran a, what do you call it, self-worth course with a friend of mine recently, and that was one of the things we got them to do. What is your life like now that you're there? You're already living it. How are you different to what you were before? Because we often look at people in the street and we go, wow, they're so confident. How do we know? Like, I use the story of the woman in the green dress. So she's just bought this, she's lost a little bit of weight or whatever, and she's gone into this clothing store and she's trying on this dress, and the woman says, God, you look fabulous in that. It's quite tight fitting and it's hugging, it's really bright green. And she goes, oh, well, I've lost a bit of weight, but do you think it's too tight? Might be showing off a little bit of the rolls, you know. And the shopperson's going, no, you look absolutely fantastic. So she says, I'll buy it. And can I wear it? So they put her other clothes in a bag. She gets out of the store. She's walking down the street. And she notices this woman staring at her. And she goes, oh, my God, I never should have bought this dress. I look fat, you know. Meanwhile, the other woman's going, oh, my God, I wish I had her confidence. You know, so we haven't determined what is it like if, let's say, the real me was confident or whatever, what am I like? How am I different to me now? Because there's a gap, right?
Yeah.
And you can only, like, bridge that gap if you know what it is that you're heading towards. Yeah.
I love that story. That's so cool. And so I'm going to call it the future you or the true you, getting people to write a letter to themselves describing how they're showing up. Maybe even, what are they wearing? Who are they with? That type of thing. What are they doing?
Because we analyzed in that course that I ran, we analyzed a confident person, you know, just the people that were at the course going, well, who are they? What are they wearing? Well, you know, how do you know they're confident? What are they doing? It's different than you're doing. And, how, you know, all the stuff. And actually, there was quite a lot they could tell me, but they hadn't even thought about it, you know? Yeah.
So fascinating. I think it's an exciting time that we're living through because I feel like people are stepping more courageously into who they truly are. And I would love your thoughts on this. I feel like, why are most people not being who they are? I think it's because they're scared of what other people will think of them. And so I often say to my kids, you know, like, care more about what you think of you than what others think of you. So what are your thoughts on that? Why do you think people aren't showing up as the true version of themselves?
Well, I guess we've been conned into this lie that this is who you need to be in order to do X, Y, or Z. Jesus, I've changed my life so many times. I've leapt off, you know, taken leaps of faith, not even knowing what was going to be on the other side, but just going, I know that this isn't great, so there's got to be an alternative, right? I don't know. I feel like, so it's saying sort of what are people need to do if they think there's something different. Is that, tell me your question again.
Well, it's really around, like, why do you think people aren't showing up as the true, the truth of who they are?
I think we've got so suckered into the norm, you know, you got to go get a job, you know, like that whole phrase that people say, oh, I couldn't be an artist because all artists are poor. Well, not all artists are poor. And maybe you do being an artist in a different way. But if you have that belief, all artists are poor, you're never even going to sit at the front door as an artist, right? So I think we've been, if you like, indoctrinated into this world that says we have to be a certain way. We have to have the job and the car and the house and the, you know, three kids and the mortgage and the, you know, but what if that's not true?
I've got all those things.
Yeah, you know, but if you didn't want that and there was a different you that wanted to be there, you feel stuck, you know, you feel stuck in that spot and not able to change it. Like when I separated from my second husband, I met the girls and went to the pub and we were like, I said, I'm worried because I'm working part-time and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to support myself. Oh no, you know, we can make it work. So we had a look at this spreadsheet that I'd sprinted out and all this kind of stuff. And oh no, I can see that you wouldn't be able to survive. But looking back, actually, you can always, you know, I could have done it, But I was so hooked into the things that I needed to have, like maybe the life insurance, maybe the, oh God, you know, I didn't even have any kids. Who was going to leave the stuff to anyway? Life insurance, you know, sickness, health insurance, whatever they call it, you know. I was sucking into this life. So therefore I'm coming from lack, thinking that this other life that I dream of isn't possible. But what if it is, you know? What if it is?
Do you think that most people are coming, not most people, this coming from a place of lack? That's quite a familiar phrase in the life coaching space, but some people will not have heard it before. Can you elaborate on that and how easy is it to shift away from that?
Well, if you're living in a certain way and you want another way, but you can't see how you could do it because you keep making up all these excuses, if you like, then you're coming from lack. Lack is an interesting, it's not just lack of money, you know, lack of time. And people say, you know, time versus money. Well, there is no such thing anyway. You know what I mean? Lack is, it isn't anything. The opposite of lack, of course, would be abundance, right? And when we start to notice abundance everywhere, like the blades of grass outside, and people go, what does that have to do anything with anything? But when you start to notice abundance, you'll notice everywhere. You'll notice it everywhere. It brings me to the topic of gratitude. Grateful for what you have and what you don't yet have. Grateful for the stuff that you believe isn't what you want, because it's there for a reason. So let's say you have an old beat up car. The moment you don't become grateful for it, you might then find that it breaks down, or you get a bill for $500 from a car accident or whatever, you know? So keep your focus of attention on being grateful for the stuff you don't even have, or for the stuff you have but don't believe that's what you want. It's what you want because it's what you've got. So this whole universal thing, it works by resonating with where our vibration is, and our vibration is what we feel. So if you begin to feel good about what you have, even if it's a beat up old car, then you will start to notice more of the feel good stuff. It probably hasn't answered your question.
I love it. I love that grass analogy, even because I'm just thinking right outside my door, you know, my guinea pig and the grass, but acknowledging like the abundance of the blades of grass. And like you said, one of the first things you said in your BS shift step-by-step was noticing. So noticing the gratitude, noticing the abundance. And I haven't heard that phrase before, grateful for what you have. We've all heard that, but we haven't heard this part, and what you don't yet have. Yeah. So that really kind of sets the tone for like, I'm grateful for the goodness that's coming. And I often do this. I say, thank you for the, you know, for the wonderful opportunities coming my way, you know, even though if I don't know what they are, I just kind of sending the gratitude out there. So I think that's
also, there's nothing wrong with the house, the car, the mortgage, you know, like you said, if that's what you want, if that's what your most desire is, great, do that. But if it's not your most desire, then, wow, you know, I used to do this thing years ago. If I could give you $1,440 a day, every day for a year, what difference would that make to your life? And of course, it would make a huge difference. Well, I can't give you that, but you've got 1,440, I think it is, minutes every day. Choose how you spend them. And I'm not perfect, so sometimes I don't choose well. So, but then I get the option to come back center and re-choose. You know, there's always another path, you know?
And it's interesting what you said before about, you know, the classic things like the mortgage and the kids and the job and whatever. I think it's, if someone's like I haven't had a job in my whole time my kids have known me, you know, 17 years, they've never seen me have a job. And now I just recently got a job. I'm working with the elderly two mornings a week. So it's like, I'm excited about it. But if I was in a job that I'd had forever and it really drained me, like that's not living in alignment. That's not living high frequency. So I think it's not so much about, you know, if you've got a house and you hate your house and you hate like this is broken and that's broken and that drains your energy. Well, okay, there's a great opportunity to make a shift. But if you have a house like me, I'm always like, ooh, my house is north facing and I love to just lie in the sun and go in my hot tub. Like, so I think it depends. It's not so much about having the thing, but it's how you feel about the thing. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, totally. It's about how you feel about what you have. And, like, I have to remind myself of this too. You know, I live in a, well, we've got a beautiful 7-acre lifestyle, but the house is not finished yet, you know. And there's a whole lot of unfinished things. And when I get bogged down on the unfinished, then I'm unfinished as well, you know. So I lift it up. I just remind myself. I go out for a walk and I go, right, what am I grateful for? Yeah. And I just look out at this amazing landscape and I go, wow, you know, yeah. You can shift it in an instant.
You can. Even now, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be like blades of grass, and it's just going to be my trigger point to shift my energy if I'm feeling down about things. I love it. All right. I'd love to ask you, Fiona, the up your brave question. If you were to truly up your brave in the remaining months of 2024, what would you do?
Well, I'm shifting my own BS at the moment too. You know, I've come back full circle to coaching. And so what I do is get out there in a much bigger way. I've started a podcast with a friend of mine, and I want to do stuff with that, get it on. And it's just on YouTube at the moment, but get it on a podcast, proper podcast network, blah, blah, blah. But the other thing I'm doing is I'm focusing on the course that I have called Your Roadmap to Love. It's the love shift with Your Roadmap to Love. And I wrote it to meet my partner. And obviously I met him and, you know, have a wonderful life, but what I realized was I must be doing something wrong. What am I doing here? So I thought, I'm not going to go into another relationship. Remember, I've been married twice before. I'm not going to get into another relationship until I figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
And so one of the first things was that I wrote my own list about what I wanted. I should actually be writing their list, because if I write their list, let's say you wanted someone who was, rip-toned abs and a millionaire or whatever, and I'm not like that. Let's say I was a couch potato and I had no money. Well, they don't align, do they? So I've got to write his list and then go, well, actually, if that is who I'm looking for, what do I need to change? Or, you know, there's a whole lot of things in there. But anyway, I want to get that out there in a much bigger way, because I believe, you know, it isn't that we're making mistakes or mistakes and getting into wrong relationships. It's that we need to change and we need to love ourselves fully and completely first. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah. I think that'll be a popular one. The roadmap to love. Okay. Well, on that note,
The love shift.
Okay.
With your roadmap to love. Yeah.
How can people find out about that or some of the other things that you're up to?
So they can, probably the easiest thing is to go to the website, theawakenedguru.com, and you can find links to the podcast on there in the events page. And then there's a love section in there and you can go and have a look. There's a free webinar you can jump on. And there's also, you can find out about the course and contact me through there.
Amazing. Anything else coming up specifically, either for you personally, like travel or events, or anything in your business coming up in the coming months?
I'm kind of, you know, it's funny, isn't it? You know, they talk about niching. It's a very American term, I believe. But, you know, they say, oh, you have to niche. Well, I've always kind of gone, I can't, because I'm a freedom lover. And that's so, and so for me, it's really spending time working on how I can market myself without niching, because I'm not niched. I mean, I've got the life shift, the love shift, you know, the abundance shift, you know, so they're all pretty much in the same realm, because it's all the same mindset and the same stuff, but there's lots of different exercises in there. So that'd be my biggest thing, is figuring out how to overcome that and get out there in a big way.
Well, you're in good company, because that's what I do. I shine the light. I'm actually a visibility coach. And it's so interesting. The fallacy around niching is so fascinating to me, because I also do human design. And I take one look at you and I listen to a few things you say. And it just, I feel like you're a manifesting generator and you do not need to niche. So don't worry about that. It's only the projectors.
Ooh, yay, I love it.
It's only the projectors that need to niche. So there's so much misinformation when it comes to coaching and a lot of the generic stuff that we're told, even things like follow your heart. That's not for everybody, but what is for you is follow what lights you up and do that. Yes. And you just said earlier that you know, you've reinvented yourself so many times. I was like, well, manifesting generators are the queens of reinvention. Of course, that's what you've done.
And I always know it's right, because I get a rush of energy up into here and I just know. So thank you for saying that. It's really, that cements it for me. No niching. Yay!
No niching, not at all. No. No need to niche. All right. Before we wrap up, is there anything else? Oh, well, where can people find you on the socials?
Okay. So I've got the BS Shift on Instagram. I think it's called Fiona with, I can't remember, the BS Shift with Fiona or something.
Okay.
And then I've got the BS Shift is my Facebook page as well. Where else can they find me? Well, obviously the website. We've got the podcast that started, and that's kind of this first section that, or what do they call it? No, not an episode. What's it called?
A season.
Yeah. So this is following the life shift. So that's following that course. So we do one module a week, and we just kind of unearth it and give them tips and what they can do or whatever. They get much more in the course, of course, but, you know, so they can have a look at that. So that's, you'll find it on YouTube, or just go to our website, because we've got a link under the pod blog. It's called Blog Pod something, because it's a blog but a podcast as well. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. They can find you on the socials. And everyone who's listening, as I always do or endeavor to do, me and my lovely team, I don't do everything myself, is we put together all the links and a little bit of a bio information and all the links that we're mentioning on the replay page. So if you go to the app or the website, realitycheck.radio, and then you go to Up Your Brave on the replays, you can scroll down, you can find Fiona's page and get the links from there. Amazing. Fiona, anything else you'd love to share with us today before we wrap things up?
I have actually, and I wrote a note so that I would remember to say it. So if you're stuck, I believe it's the intuitive nudge that you have uninvestigated thoughts that need BS shifting. It will enable you to reveal the truth about what's really keeping you stuck, interrupt the patterns so that you can step into the truth of who you really are. So keep investigating is what I'd say. You know, if you're stuck, it's there for a reason. There's a message in there. Just keep looking in.
Looking inward. Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today, Fiona.
Thanks, Natalie.
Oh,
it's been great fun.
It's been so fun. And I'm excited for people to actually step into who they truly are. I'm excited to see what we're going to create together.
Yeah, the world could be so much, so amazing if we, if, you know, if artists stepped into being artists. And you know, there's always someone that wants to work in the supermarket and they step into that, you know, or whatever.
Exciting times. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.